on the exam that I didn't tell you I was going to show?
No.
I told you I wouldn't tell you right all the scoop, is that right?
Yeah.
I hope that we're starting to really grasp. I'm telling you, when you learn this study, in a sense, you almost know all the studies. Because you hit a lot of stuff in this study, guys. I pray that this study will become one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. It became mine. And so, tonight, we're going to hit light darkness quickly. Now, most of us, we know this, like, we're going to, whoa,
hello.
That was almost like the coming of the Lord.
Moment.
That was a moment. I'm done. That was awesome. Okay, so guys, this is a great thing. Now, at this point in the study, if you're at light and darkness, this is the person who should be doing what? They should be coming to church. They should be sharing their faith. They should be having consistent times with God, working the Bible and prayer. If you're getting to light and darkness, and this person hasn't come to church yet, You're not calling them to obey the challenges. Okay? So, you need to make sure at this point, man, they should be ready to go and they should be eager to get right with God. And so, what I usually do even before the light and dark study is do what we just did here, which is review the kingdom study.
Okay.
Review the kingdom study. Make sure they get it, because very often, not everyone gets the kingdom study the first time.
Yeah.
I did the kingdom study in the car. I was driving an hour and a half to midweek, and a brother did the kingdom study with me in the car.
Wow. That's
and very interesting. Back then, in a lot of ways, we did studies in the cars because it was so challenging, me being an hour and a half away. But I got it. And then I reviewed over it, and I was like, wow, this is cool. So it's good to review the kingdom study, going over the questions, making sure people really nail it. Now here, the goal of this study is really see what does it mean to be in the light? What does it mean to be saved? That's the goal of this study. We're going to study out what it means to be saved biblically. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, let's take a look here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start, yes?
Before we jump out here, don't you think it's important for people to know the timeline? Because,
I'm going to get to that in the study, I promise.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, what I usually do is I stick the timeline in after 1 Peter 2. I'll tell you why. Because you can do it before 2. Personally, you can honestly do it either way. But I absolutely agree you need to do a timeline with the person. Because they need to really see that, number one, what their religious highlights are. So, but here we're going to take a look first and see what the scriptures say. So we'll do the timeline right after 1 Peter 2. But thanks for bringing it up. So 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible reads here, starting in verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called him out of darkness into his wonderful light. So you're actually explaining why it's called a light and darkness study. This scripture actually explains that. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Okay, so now, as you pull up, you see why we call it the light and darkness study, right? We see there's a point in time where you go from darkness into the light. Right? So there's no gray area here. It's a very specific point in time. Now, what's also interesting is that you see the context of this is that Peter is writing to who? He's actually writing to God's church. Very important to understand context when you study the Bible with people. If you look back at 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter here is writing to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout all these different places. As it says in chapter 1, verse 1. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He's referring to all Christians across all these different regions. He's not talking to non-Christians, he's talking to Christians.
Yeah.
Very important. And that's why he says, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. Now, this is powerful, especially if you're talking to people who have a Catholic background.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, what does the Bible just say? You're chosen by God, And guess what? You, if you are a Christian, are a priest. That's pretty powerful. You know, people say, you know, in the Catholic tradition, you're a priest. Priests are basically, you know, ordained, and they are your mediator between you and God. That's not true. We can talk to God, absolutely. We don't need a priest to talk to God. Are you with me? Very important. It's good to clarify that. Then it says a holy nation. So God's people are holy. That's what categorizes them. You can't be God's people and not be holy. And then it says a people belonging to God, that we may do what? Declare what? The praises of Him. So if you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, what must you want to do?
Praise.
You want to declare the praise of God, which means what? You want to share your faith.
Yeah.
You want to tell people how awesome God is. So right here, God is telling us who we are as His people, and because we're chosen, because we're royal priesthood, because we're royalty to God, we're united with God, yes, because we're holy, because we belong to God, I want to praise God. I want to declare to the world who He is, because He's called me out of darkness. Do you see how the heart for God and the heart for the lost is everywhere in the scriptures?
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And so, we see though, that according to this, it says once you're not a people. So, according to this, at one point, everyone's in the darkness.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that later. Do you come into the world in darkness? Or do you come into the world perfect and then you get into darkness later? You got to study that. But you got to clarify that up, because a lot of people have questions about that. We'll get to that in a moment. And so, it says there, at one point you're in darkness, and so you see here, you have the person write it on out. On one side, you have darkness, and if you're in the darkness, you're not a people, there's no mercy. In the light, however, you are a people of God, and there is mercy. So now, we want to extrapolate a little bit on this. If you're not a people of God, and if there's no mercy, then what must that also mean? You're lost. If you're lost, you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, we know from the discipleship study, you're not a disciple. Same thing on the other side. If you extrapolate further, if you're a people of God, if you receive God's mercy, then you are saved. If you're saved, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you are a disciple. And so at this point, I say, okay, as you see here, there is no twilight zone. You're either in the light or you're in the dark, right? So the question is, where are you as you go on? Now, usually, people actually say, you know, if they're humble, what people will say is, if they really get it, they'll say, you know, I'm in the dark, but I'm making my way.
Yeah.
I'm making my way, right?
Yeah.
Now, if they're prideful, they're like, even after you've done all this, right? Like, yeah, I'm in the light. I'm like, okay. So now, let's do this timeline. Because if someone knows they're in the darkness, you don't necessarily have to do a timeline.
Right.
If they know they're in the darkness, I mean, it's fine to do one. I mean, sometimes it's good to even have it as a refer back to it later. It's fine. If they're in the darkness, amen. But if they think they're in the light, oh, you better believe we have to do a timeline. Because
yeah.
Now we have to lay it out for them. So, what are some ways that we can do this timeline? Well, what I usually do is I just kind of draw a straight line. And on one side, I put, here's where you're born. And here is now. And I ask two questions. These questions are important. These questions may actually be on the next quiz. Okay, so you write out the timeline. You have, here's where you're born, here's till now. You have a nice line with a little end of it. Here's born right now. Okay, two key questions. Number one, when did you receive forgiveness of sins? Question number one. Question number two. When do you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Because these two questions are very important. You have to receive the forgiveness of sins, and you also have to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. If you don't have forgiveness of sins, you also don't belong to Christ. And what's really interesting is that when you study the Bible with people, you ask these two questions. Some people will say, well, I wouldn't go into it at this time. But you just ask these two questions. And then you ask the person, okay, so give me your spiritual highlights. Give me all your spiritual highlights about, you know, anything that you consider to be valuable. So maybe I just want to say, you know, I was baptized as a baby. Okay, baptized as a baby. I like write out his exact words. Are you following me? Then he'll say, well, you know what? I spoke in tongues at 14. Okay. What's my other highlight? I think that, I accepted Jesus at 12. Okay. Accepted Jesus at 12. I just write exactly what they say.
Yeah.
Right? But then I say, are those all your spiritual highlights? Yes. Okay. Now, let's answer those two questions. At what point were you forgiven of sin? I know. I got forgiveness of sin when I accepted Jesus. Okay, so here's the question. What point did you get forgiveness? When I accepted Jesus. Okay, what does it mean to accept Jesus? Did you pray? Yes, when you prayed. Right, just what they said. Question number two. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? When I started speaking in tongues. Okay, there you go. Is that it? Is there anything else you want to add to this? Speak now. I'll forever hold your peace, right? That's it. You're basically now setting up the argument. They've just told you exactly how they believe they were converted. Now, let's see what the Bible says. And you say it with much humility. You don't go into it like saying, ha. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. I'm going to trap. It's not a trap.
Right.
You're trying to help people.
Yeah.
You, but, and the goal of this is to really make sure they understand, because a lot of times people just don't understand. I didn't. Did you?
Uh-huh.
We have to be humble. So when we write up that spiritual timeline, we do it with gentleness and respect. You don't laugh at them. You don't say, you got to hear. You just keep a straight face. Whatever they tell you. They may tell you, you know, I started plucking like a chicken when I was 15, and this is when I was 6. You just keep a straight face. You're like, okay, started plucking as a chicken. You see, you're like, I will not lie. Trust me, I've heard people say some stuff to me. And I have bit my lip, but I have kept a straight face. Because the moment I start laughing, you're laughing at me. This is funny. I'm done with this study. You think you're better than me. With gentleness and respect.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so you lay that on out. Now, you get to the study. Okay, but do you see how doing the scripture first now sets it up for that?
Yeah.
Because if someone isn't, if they know I'm in the darkness, they're like, okay, well, we can go. If you're showing up on whatever. But I do still think it's nice because when you have it written out, now it's them, they're out for them to see. And there's no questions later because you're going to refer back to this later. Okay. Well, let's take a look now at what the Bible says about being in the darkness. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. You guys can quote this. I can quote this. We can just for the sake of time, but amen. We'll just do it. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is ear too dull to hear, right?
Yeah.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Okay. So, what do we see in this passage? I just brought up. God's weak? No, that's not what this passage is. No. What is it saying? It says, surely God's not too short to save. Surely his ear is not. Ah! Can you hear me? My ear is dull. No, it's not saying that. He's saying, our sins, iniquities is just a big word for sin, right? Have what? Separated us from God. So, literally, there's now a wall between us and God because of our sin. And there's no way through it, right? And I usually give the analogy, you know, if you ever watch a movie, you see like a movie curtain, right? Or even in your house, the sun can be shining through, but if you have a curtain in your window, can the light hit through?
No.
So people look at this and say, is God not powerful? No, the sun's powerful, but it's that curtain that stops it from coming through. In the same way, God's very powerful. But our sin stops him from being with us. God's perfect. He cannot be with sin.
Yeah.
Right? And so our sins hide us from him so that we cannot be with him. And so in order for a person to have a relationship with God, that wall of sin has got to come down. That wall has got to come down. You can't just say, because I'm going to stop sinning, now I'm good. No, you still have built up a wall of sin for the past 25 years, Dr. Bola. So you think that just because you're going to stop sinning now, that wall of sin is going to magically disappear? No, that wall of sin has got to be broken down. That wall of sin has got to be broken. You can't just say, I repent now, and now I'm forgiven. No, that wall of sin has got to come down. Very important.
Yeah.
Very, very, very important. And so, the point in time that sin is forgiven is the point in time the person is saved. This is very important. Because a lot of people think when they get the Holy Spirit, they're saved. The Holy Spirit does not leave. Very important. The Holy Spirit helps you to lead a godly life. The Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, will raise you from the dead as it rose Jesus from the dead. But the Holy Spirit does not leave you. You have to figure out at what point in time, the point in time where you get your sins forgiven is the point in time where you are saved.
Yeah.
Very important. Because people just have a very misguided view of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to study out later as well. So, once we see this here, you explain this, now we can move on. And so, the question is, okay, let's talk about sin. How does this relate to us? The transition here is that if you understand sin separates us from God, well, who has sin? Well, let's take a look at Romans 3. In Romans 3, we know this scripture. Again, but it's important to examine it and study it out and give illustrations. In Romans 3:23, the Bible reads, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but here's the good news, are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood." This is important. Everyone has sinned. Even your grandma, who makes the best egusi soup. She sinned. Even the old guy, the chief of your village, who, everyone bows down to him. Guess what? He sinned. There's no one who has not sinned. Sadly, people look at people like they're sinless.
Yeah.
Everyone has sinned. And so this is important because, and the reason why you have to address this is because some people think they're better than other people because they don't sin the way they do.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Religious hypocrisy, religious self-righteousness is huge.
Yes, it is.
Here. Yeah. And so we've got to really address this. Because, as we talk about, okay, you made the diagram, you got person A, right? Let's say we're in the study, myself, Kunle, and he. He's person A. He lies. He cheats on his taxes. Person B is Iggy. Now, he beats up little kids for their lunch money. Takes their Nara. Right? But person C, that's me. I'm a rapist and a murderer. Now, who's furthest away from God? Both people say, you, right? You're going to hell. But you know what's really interesting? What does the Bible say? All of sin is fallen short from God. So, it doesn't make a difference. And the way I usually explain this is that, okay, for example, if passing is 80, and you get a 75, do you pass or fail?
Yeah.
You fail. If you get a 60, do you pass or fail?
Yeah.
You fail. If you get a 20, you fail. If you get a 79, you don't want to be the person who gets the 79, right? You're like, it's like trying to jump over a precipice, and you're like, your foot touches the other end, and you drop.
That's it.
And so, I give the analogy here. I'm like, guys, let's not be self-righteous. Moses was a murderer. And he stood with Jesus. So, Paul, did he not murder Christians? Colossians is nothing to do with murder. But I say this because, guys, we guys. And here's the scary thing. It's the Pharisees who will say, you murderers, rapists, adulterers. But yet they're the ones who are the liars, the deceivers, the cheaters, putting loads on other people but not doing it themselves. What did Jesus say? The tax collectors and the prostitutes will get to heaven ahead of you. Why? Because people who are confident in their own righteousness do not appreciate the grace of God. Come on, and so you got to really lay this out. This one, oh, I go to town on this scripture. And I have someone to understand. I usually use, you know me, I go ahead and I use the whole water bottle and I say, well, here's your water bottle. So if you lie, you put a little, maybe 3 drops of urine in it. Like a lady, just he lies. Kiki, well, he beats people up. Or take the lunch money. Okay, now you put 20 drops of urine in it. But me, I'm a rapist and murderer. Well, I just go to town on it and fill it up. Which one would you drink? You don't want to drink any of that. I don't want. This is not water anymore. This is part of what you're hearing. Just name it. That's the way God heals. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me clarify. I'm not saying murdering people is the same as lying. I'm not saying that. My minister said that because it's all the same anyway, so whether I lie or whether I put a gun to your head, it's all good. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that when you stand before God, if you repent, the murder can be accepted as much as the liar can be accepted. Now that, for a lot of people, is very challenging. However, the Bible also says that there will be different levels of discipline in heaven. Sorry, in hell. There will be different levels of discipline. We talked about being beaten with many blows versus beaten with fewer blows. There will be different levels of discipline. So trust me, the murderer who doesn't repent is going to be beaten a lot worse or been fired a lot worse than the guy who's a liar. Right? Hitler is going to get a lot worse punishment than Mother Teresa.
Amen.
In case you're wondering, Mother Teresa was not a Christian. Why is that? Because a good moral life does not save you.
That's right.
People say, Mother Teresa was not a Christian. Yeah, if you read her memoirs, she even doubted the existence of God. You cannot earn your salvation by your good deeds. It's our faith in the blood of Jesus that saves us. Well, how do we contact that blood? We'll talk about that in a second. But so now we understand that everyone's sinned. Everyone should be humble.
Yeah.
There should be no one that thinks, oh, I'm good to go.
Right.
No one. Mm-hmm. And this is huge for people who are religious.
Yeah.
Because they're the worst ones. And I think that's where Satan really attacks.
Yeah.
He goes after religious people because he thinks, you know what, because you're religious, how do I pull you away from God? I'll make you prideful. I'll make you look down on people. And then Satan says, I've got you. Right? So now, let's talk about what sin is. Now, I'm actually going to send you a list explaining all the different sin terms in the Bible. I'll send a simple WhatsApp. Galatians chapter 5. This is great. We understand the sense of commission here. Quickly, we'll just read over this very, very quickly. But we see here, Galatians 5. Now, when we do this sin list, what I like to do, you read the scripture, you explain the scripture, you explain the terms, right? You can have your list or explain it. But then you have, you always share your sin first.
Mm-hmm.
Then now you say, well, how would, you know, do you see, can you apply this to yourself? You don't ask them to share first.
Yeah.
They don't know. And they're probably prideful and don't want to share it.
Right.
But once you get open, they're like, oh my gosh, I guess I can share. I'm blowing. Openness breeds openness, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This is the obvious thing. Sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft.
Oh, the juju.
Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is a sin. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you the day before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Okay. So, for the sake of time, we're not going to put this up right now, but you just basically break it on down. Sexual morality, that's having sex with anyone who's not your wife. That includes man or woman or beast. bestiality.
Yeah.
That's real stuff. People do that. It's pretty wicked, but it is. And by the way, here's another thing. And again, I'm teaching you how to teach, right? You don't have to study, but I'm teaching you how to teach. When someone shares their sin, you do not start laughing.
Yeah.
You do not like. You don't like look at them funny. You do not. You don't.
Yeah.
You gotta keep a straight face. Why? Because now they're finally being vulnerable.
Right.
They're finally being open.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And now you. Would you want to share your sin after that?
No.
Absolutely not. And you know their sin. They if they felt comfortable, they may just share deep sin. They may just share, you know what? I was abused. I was raped by an uncle or whatever. I mean, I've had guys confess rape to me in prison. Like, Andrew, I got raped in prison, and that's how I got HIV. I've heard over 16 years some intense things. And don't you dare laugh at anyone, look down at anyone. Oh, God will hold you accountable.
Yeah.
So sexual morality, but then impurity, right? Pornea in the Greek. Anything that you know, you're looking at, internet pornography, masturbation, and you lay it on out. You talk about it. And you know, you see people start to squirm in their seat a little bit. Because they're like, oh my gosh, you're actually talking about that stuff. Yes, we're talking about that stuff. That's why the men study with the women. I'm sorry, the men study with the men, the women study with the women. Because I don't need to be in some woman's study like, let's talk about your masturbation.
Right.
I do not need any kind of visual or any kind of, no, the women study with the women. Right? Because they have to start asking questions like, okay, so how often have you been doing this? Remember, keep a straight face. You're making me laugh. Okay. And so, you have to be honest. Debaucherous about eating.
Yeah.
That's a form of gluttony. Well, that is, I'm sorry, gluttony is a form of debauchery.
Yeah.
Right? So anything, too much of anything. You can be sitting around watching TV all day, playing video games all day. That's debaucherous.
Yeah.
Even studying can be a form of debauchery.
Yeah.
I can't go to church without studying. No, you've been studying for like how many hours now? Work can be a form of debauchery.
Yeah.
Idolatry, putting anything above God. Hello, I think you gotta hit the job in here. Because let me tell you guys, when it comes to idolatry, people worship their jobs.
Yeah.
They worship their relationships.
Yeah.
They worship their reputation, and you gotta really deal with that. Then witchcraft. Now this, especially here, you gotta deal with that. Because I've noticed that even people who call themselves Christians still actually believe in juju.
Yeah.
And you gotta go there, like, so when you go back to your village, what do you do? Do you have someone there that you speak to, that you consult with, and let them to? And you know, the intense thing is, you know, usually I thought like masturbation and purity and all that stuff would be people make people squirm. What made people squirm was the witchcraft. It was actually acknowledging it.
Yeah.
Because I think deep down they're more ashamed of that than other things.
Yeah.
Funny enough, in the U.S. people are like, whatever. But here, people really have faith in that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people will say, okay, yeah, come sleep with me because I'm a prophet. Okay. God says you should sleep with me. What? God said what? I wish I was standing there when that dude said something like that. But you'd be surprised. People actually believe it. That's just the culture they grew up in.
Yeah.
It's very, very sick. It's very, very sad.
Right.
And twisted what these people do. And so, you ask about hatred. What is hatred? It's an absence of love.
Yeah.
Do you hate anybody? And you always can tell when you don't like someone, or someone rubs you the wrong way when you see them, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
you don't feel like, you feel like you got to deal with that in your heart.
Sure.
That sin will stop you from getting to heaven.
Sure.
Now, the next one, discord, well, that's what? That's more of a, in a sense, a religious sin. When you have an issue with someone, but you don't go to them and deal with it. Right? So if you have an issue with someone and you don't go to them and deal with it, that is discord. That can make you go to hell.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. Right? Jealousy. Well, what's that? What's that? You're possessive. You don't want to share. Like, you know, like say you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, right? And now this boyfriend is talking to another guy. And it can be very innocent. Yeah, help me understand whatever's going on at the job. If you're looking at it like, why are you over there? No, you need to be with me. It's a possessive. Now, funny enough, God, the Bible says God has a godly jealousy.
Yeah.
What does that mean? He doesn't want to share you with the world. That's a good thing. And he really doesn't. That is true. So we got to be careful there. Fits of rage. Uncontrollable rage. Right? It's not okay. Selfish ambition. Now, what does that mean? Ambition is awesome. We should all aspire to do great things. But when we aspire to do great things for our own glory versus God's glory, that's selfish.
Yeah.
We got to deal with that. Now, it talks about, then you see the other sins of dissensions and factions. That's really the next step of discord. So I usually take discord, dissensions, and factions, and I group them together. Yeah. Discord is when you have an issue with someone, but you don't go to them. You keep it to yourself. Dissension now. Now, I have an issue with you, but I go talk to him about you. Gossip, slander, that's dissensious. Guess what? That can send you to hell. Now, faction is, okay, I have discord in my heart against you. Now I'm talking to this guy about you. And you know what? Now we break off from you. We don't even talk to you anymore. We're a faction. A lot of churches in Nigeria are factions.
That's right, yeah.
They've broken off from the mainline church, not the Church of Christ, you know what I mean, but from their mainstream denomination. And they believe the same things, but they just don't want to be associated with that leadership anymore. So they've now formed these splinter factions and they're doing their own thing. That's what you see here. A lot of these churches are based on discord, dissension, and factions. Then it goes on into envy, right? Wanting what others have for yourself and wanting to take it from them. Drunkenness. Again, drinking's not a sin. Sometimes people get all weird there.
Yeah.
Drinking's not a sin. Paul told Timothy, have some wine to help with your stomach. You got issues. Drink some wine, it'll help you. Right? They drank wine at the Last Supper. Okay? Now, I'm not saying they were taking vodka and going, that's not what they're doing. So, because what happens is now, when you drink to excess, you've lost self-control.
Yeah.
Which is a sin. And so, you got to deal with that stuff. Drunkenness, guess what? You will go to hell for that.
Come on.
I'm just letting you know. It says, you will not hear the kingdom of God. Right? Orgies. What's an orgy? It's a wild group sin. And most people, when they hear orgy, they think what? Sexual orgy. It's not just sexual orgy. Orgy means any group sin. So a cult is what?
An orgy.
You're coming together to what? To beat somebody up. It's a group sin. Clubbing, right? Being all impure and out on the, you're rubbing up on people and then drinking. Like, that's a whole orgy right there.
That's right.
I agree. And of course, you have the sexual orgy, where men just use women. Also, just be aware. I know that here in Nigeria, people say that, you know, homosexuality is something that people don't talk about much because you could be punished by the government 14 years or whatever. But do not be naive.
Yeah.
Homosexuality is real.
Yeah.
And I think homosexuality has evangelized the world.
Yeah.
It has.
It's true.
And I've talked to people, I mean, I was shocked. You know, you see some people you think, no.
Right.
No, there's no way. He's too masculine to be homosexual. Oh, you'd be surprised. You think that some guy is effeminate, he's homosexual. No, he's not. Actually, he's a very much a heterosexual. And some people who look all masculine, you'd be very surprised.
Yeah, that's true.
I've talked to guys who are homosexuals who are buff, muscular, captain of the football team. Mm-hmm. Sin is sin.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. But here's the thing. You can't look down on people because of that either.
That's right.
Now, if they start in the course of the study to start to like you or something, And you see them starting to come on to you then, okay, you may need to switch me to the, you know, yeah. figure out, study, get somebody else in there. I don't play around when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to cause them to show. But at the same time, you have to be mature about it.
Yeah.
Right? And again, you don't look down on people.
That's right.
Because your sin, my sin, is just as wicked.
Okay.
All right? Amen, guys.
Amen.
Let's just quickly hit this. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, we know this. But again, my goal here is to teach you how to teach, not just what to teach. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, it's important to hit this scripture and hit it well, because sometimes we look at this scripture and we think, oh, this isn't that serious. What does it say? It says in 2 Timothy 3, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be rapists?
No.
Is that what it says? No. It says they'll be lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. But denying its power, have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
My Bible tells me that this stuff is probably even more terrible than the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know why? Because this is how it starts.
Yeah.
This is how it starts. Because you lose self-control, you become impure. Because you are rash, you get into fits of rage. Because you're a lover of pleasure rather than lovers of God, you're immoral. This. All that stuff comes from this.
Yeah.
A girl doesn't just magically fall on your lap. It doesn't happen. I haven't seen it yet.
That's true.
It's slow, steady way that Satan gets in.
That's right.
And so, guys, we gotta have the conviction. And you know the thing that really scares me is when it talks about conceited.
Yeah.
You gotta be very careful not to be conceited, guys. Looking down on people, having a form of godliness but denying its power. You think, well, that's just the religious people.
I am one of those religious people.
We're all religious. There's religious people who are actually doing what's right, and there's religious people who are actually doing what's wrong. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We got to be careful there.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, what I do, just to save time, when you do the study, don't have everybody should listen. You'll be there all night.
Yeah.
You just sit there, you do the study, you explain the scriptures, the scripture, then I like to start first. I'm leading the study, I set the example and openness. Then I ask them to share. Have them share. Then the next scripture, you can have somebody else share. You with me? Technically, have another brother share. Then you get to James 4:17, which is what? Sin of commission. Omission, excuse me. Right? And so, remember now, what's the difference here? Sins of commission are sins you commit. Sins of omission are sins you omit. Right? In fact, not getting open, not confessing your, not sharing your faith, things like that, what you know you should be doing, but you're not doing. Which means that we all have to be humble before God. Amen?
Amen.
James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it,
sins.
Wow. There's no way out. There is no way out, right? There's no one who can come into the study and say, man, I'm awesome.
Nope.
There's no way out. And so, with Romans 6:23, what do you see here? We have to get humble. Now, that's why this study, as I said in the beginning, the other thing I just encourage you to do when you teach a study is you ask someone, how much time do you have tonight? Because this study is a longer study.
Yeah.
And to do it right, you need the time. If you don't have enough time, what ends up happening is you now end at sin, and people are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell. I thought these problem studies were supposed to be encouraging, right? And so, because right now, you're like laying it out, you're like showing all their sin. And Romans 6:23, this is intense, because now you're saying here, essentially, he says here, well, the wages of sin is death. You go, nah, right? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. And so, what do you see? Wages of sin, death, hell, darkness, gift of God, eternal life, heaven, hell. Do you want to get into the light? Do you want to get into the light? Because if you want to get into the light, you're going to have to repent of these sins. You're going to have to stop doing what you're doing. And so, now we get into the light quickly, real quick here. I'm just going to fast forward. Give me 5 minutes and we'll be done. Oh, thanks, bro. Alright, I'll just jump into it. So now, light, John chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, don't worry about it. He's trying to scribble to the page. John 3, verse 1 to 7. What does that talk about? It talks about being born of
water
and the Spirit, right? Okay. So, this is important because you have to make sure people... Now, mind you, at this point, they should have seen the scripture already. They've done this before, right? And so John 3, we know they have to be born again, right? They did this in the kingdom study. They saw it. So, hey, do you remember the scripture? Oh, yeah, okay. So, you're not born of amniotic fluids.
No.
This is water, H2O. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. So when people say born again, what did you think born again meant? I like to ask that question. What did you think, when people said, because people love to say, I'm born again. Okay, so what does born again mean to you? Because according to this scripture, born again means you have to be born of water and the Spirit.
Great question.
Do you understand? It's very important, because you're trying to break down the religious preconceived notions people have. You know? And so you see here, Nicodemus was not a child. He came to him at night, and he was asking him what he needs to do. And Jesus told him, be born again. And so now, we can fast forward to Acts 2. This is the point, obviously, for the sake of time, where Peter is talking to the church. He tells them Jesus is from God, he rose from the dead, and everyone is responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. We've all sinned.
Yeah.
We know what happens next. You know, usually I just read from Acts 36 to 42. And from there now, you understand, okay, what do we need to do? We need to repent. The Greek here means to what? To turn. Now, what's interesting, repentance in a lot of ways is a metamorphosis.
Yeah.
You're totally changing.
Yeah.
Metanoia is actually one of the other words to describe repentance. Metanoia, which is where they get the word metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Like a caterpillar going into a butterfly. Right? You don't just stop.